This idea is wrong. Bodies driven by a compelling force move slowly, but those which move of their own accord possess alertness. The proof that it is not fear of pain which prompts them thus is that even when pain checks them, they struggle to carry out their natural motions. Thus, the child, who is trying to stand and is becoming used to carry his own weight, on beginning to test his strength, falls and rises again and again with tears, until through painful effort he has trained himself to the demands of nature. And certain animals with hard shells, when turned on their backs, twist and grope with their feet and make motions sideways until they are restored to their proper position. The tortoise on his back feels no suffering, but he is restless because he misses his natural condition and does not cease to shake himself about until he stands once more upon his feet. So all these animals have a consciousness of their physical constitution, and for that reason can manage their limbs as readily as they do. Nor have we any better proof that they come into being equipped with this knowledge than the fact that no animal is unskilled in the use of its body. But some object as follows. According to your account, one's constitution consists of a ruling power in the soul which has a certain relation towards the body. But how can a child comprehend this intricate and subtle principle, which I can scarcely explain, even to you? All living creatures should be born logicians, so as to understand a definition which is obscure to the majority of Roman citizens. Your objection would be true if I spoke of living creatures as understanding a definition of constitution and not their actual constitution. Nature is easier to understand than to explain. Hence, the child of whom we were speaking does not understand what constitution is, but understands its own constitution. He does not know what a living creature is, but he feels that he is an animal. Moreover, that very constitution of his own he only understands confusedly, cursorily, and darkly. We also know that we possess souls, but we do not know the essence, the place, the quality, or the source of the soul. Such as is the consciousness of our souls which we possess, ignorant as we are of their nature and position, even so all animals possess a consciousness of their own constitutions. For they must necessarily feel this, because it is the same agency by which they feel other things also. They must necessarily have a feeling of the principle which they obey and by which they are controlled. Every one of us understands that there is something which stirs his impulses, but he does not know what it is. He knows that he has a sense of striving, although he does not know what it is or its source. Thus, even children and animals have a consciousness of their primary element, but it is not very clearly outlined or portrayed. You maintain, do you, says the objector, that every living thing is at the start adapted to its constitution, but that man's constitution is a reasoning one, and hence man is adapted to himself not merely as a living, but as a reasoning being. For man is dear to himself in respect of that wherein he is a man. How, then, can a child, being not yet gifted with reason, adapt himself to a reasoning constitution? But each age has its own constitution, different in the case of the child, the boy, and the old man. They are all adapted to the constitution wherein they find themselves. The child is toothless, and he is fitted to this condition. Then his teeth grow, and he is fitted to that condition also. Vegetation also, which will develop into grain and fruits, has a special constitution when young and scarcely peeping over the tops of the furrows. Another, when it is strengthened and stands upon a stalk, which is soft but strong enough to bear its weight, and still another, when the color changes to yellow, prophesies threshing time, and hardens in the ear. No matter what may be the constitution into which the plant comes, it keeps it and conforms thereto. The periods of infancy, boyhood, youth, and old age are different. But I, who have been infant, boy, and youth, am still the same. Thus, although each has at different times a different constitution, the adaptation of each to its constitution is the same. For nature does not consign boyhood or youth or old age to me. It consigns me